Today's Shir Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Vav. We will begin on Daf Kuf Hey Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara Amar B'Shimon Pazi Amar B'Shu Ben Levi B'Shu Ben Kapara. Kol Hamoyer Demoz Al Adam Kosher. Whoever sheds tears on Adam Kosher that passes away, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Soifrom or Manicham Beis Gnozim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol counts those tears and puts them in his special place, his treasure house. Shnemar, noidi sfarta ato, sima demosi benoidecha. David HaMelech says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should put my tears in your special flask, haloi b'srifar secha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts those tears. So, one pshat that I saw is that the Michta Meliyahu, Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler Zitzal, explains, we know that the Gemara says, the only thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in his treasure house is Ela Oitzu Sheyira Shemayim Bavad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in that special treasure house Yira Shemayim. So Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler Zatzal explains that a person who says a hespen, a person who feels the loss of a great person, from what does that come from? That comes from Yira Shemayim. A person who recognizes that what's important in this life is a person who should spend his days doing what's important, that is a person that comes from Yira Shemayim. So therefore, the Beis Genozov of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he keeps Yira Shemayim, is the most appropriate place for the demos for an Adam Kosher. Another pshat that I saw is as follows. There are so many Jewish tears. There are so many Jewish tears from Tzoros Yisrael. And because there's so many tears there, we learned the Masechta Chulin, when you have many different items mixed together, they become bottle. One becomes nullified in the rest. What the Gemara is teaching us here is, Kol Hamoyer Demoz Al Adam Kosher, somebody who cries for an Adam Kosher, so the Gemara is saying, those tears are very special to Kadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu soifrom v'goinzom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps those tears separate. And they don't. And we know that Dovah Shebemispah, something which is counted individually, never becomes bottled. And those tears that are cried, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has special appreciation for. But then I saw one more beautiful pshat. Kol Hamoyer Demoz Al Adam Kosher. Many of us cry, we daven and we cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for different things that we need. A person who's moired the Maas of Adam Kosher, that when he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, I want to be an Adam Kosher. That's all I want to be out of life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that is the person whom I appreciate, that he knows what's important to daven for. He knows what's important in life. And such a person's tefillos, says the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu soifrom v'goinzom, soifrom v'manichom beis genozov. Says the Gemara, Omer, Rav Yehuda Merav, kol ha'me'atzel b'speidah shel chacham. If somebody, chas v'sholom, doesn't eulogize a chacham properly, Roy Lekaver B'chayiv, he's worthy to be buried while he's still alive. Shenema, V'yikravayisa B'gvul Nachlosoi, B'timnas Osir, B'timnas Sarach Asher B'har Ephraim, Mitzoyin L'har Gosh. He was buried there near Har Gosh. And as the way the Mefarshim explained, Har Ephraim was a very well-known place. So if you, and Gosh wasn't such a well-known place. So why does the Gemara, when it wants to speak about the Har Ephraim, identify it that it was near Har Gosh? Har Gosh is not such a well-known place that should be used as a marker where Har Ephraim was. Melamed Shirogash Aleim Har Lahogun. The mountain wanted to destroy them, and they didn't. Because they didn't say a hesped on a chacham that's properly. So I saw pshat. That we know, we learned earlier in our Masechta, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, Kof Aleim HaKigigas, he had to force them to receive the Torah. And Tosfos right away asked the question, didn't Klal Yisrael say Nasa v'Nishma? Klal Yisrael were anxious to receive the Torah. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to force them to receive the Torah? So many terutzim were offered. But one terutz was that Klal Yisrael only said Nasa v'Nishma on the Torah Shebiksav, not on the Torah Shebapeh. So here, somebody who doesn't respect the Chachamim, what does that mean? He doesn't respect Torah Shebaal Peh. So he is roy that the har, the mountain that was gosh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to throw on Klal Yisrael for not being willing to accept the Torah Shebaal Peh that they shouldn't receive. So Rashi adds over here, Kamas Atzabas Beda Shel Chacham. So Rashi says the words, Shlo Yispeda Karoi. So I saw from Rabbi Baruch Shimon Schneerson Zatzal, the Chabina Rosh Yeshiva, what is Rashi trying to add with the word Karoi? So he explains that when somebody attends Rachman Litzlan, the Levaya of a Talmud Chacham, and he hears the hesped of that they and the espedim that they say in a Talmud Chacham, what's supposed to happen is that that should have a tremendous influence on this individual, that he should want to do better. So that's what the Gemara means to say. You went to the Levaya, you heard the espedim, but it didn't change you. You didn't learn a lesson from the life of the Talmud Chacham, then royal kavri b'chayiv. Says the Gemara, Amar Achi bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, if somebody is not careful with the hesped of Talmud Chacham, ain't a marach yomim. He's not zoich to be riches yomim midah k'negah midah. As the Ran and the Drashas Ran explains, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us, it's not just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom wants to punish us. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us, it's for us to learn a lesson. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us, Mida K'nega Mida, that we should understand to do better. Shenema, as the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, B'sasu B'shalcha Terevenu, the same way that the Mitzrim did bear to us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish them. And therefore, since people are not machshiv the Talmid Chachamim and doesn't give them the proper respect with its hesped, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish them that they won't have a Riches Yomim. Ask the Gemara, Eisrei Rav Chibar Abel or Rabbi Yochanan, how could that be true? The Pasuk says, V'yavdo Amas Hashem Kol Yimei Yeshua V'chol Yimei Zekeinim Asher Richa Yom Acha Yeshua. The Zekeinim that lived in the time of Yeshua ben Nun were Maruch Yomim, even though the Gemara learned before that they weren't Machshiv and weren't Masped Yeshua properly. Amalei, so he answered, Bavloi Yom Harichu. They had long days, Shonim Loi Harichu. Their days were long, that means that they had good days, but they didn't have many of them. There's a very famous story. The Sfas Emes was Nifter when he was 52 years old. And when the sons of the Sfas Emes came home from the Levaya, the Imre Emes, Sfas Emes' son, said, "No, at least our father was Maruch Yomim." So the brothers asked him, "How could you say that our father was Maruch Yomim? He passed away when he was 52 years old." So he said, "Listen to what I said. I didn't say he was Maruch Shonim. He unfortunately did not have many years, but he was Maruch Yomim. Every day was a full day. The Yomim, all the days of his life, were full days with Torah and Mitzvahs." And that's what the Mefarshim say every month when we say Birchas HaChodesh. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we mispal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us Chayim Aruchim. Chayim Aruchim should have a double meaning. It should be a life, a long life. We should have a Riches Shonim. But we also ask for a Riches Yomim, that every day of our lives should be a meaningful day, a day where we do Torah Mitzvahs. El Me'ato. So if you're saying, ask the Gemara, that when it says Ariches Yomim, it doesn't mean necessarily a long life. It just means full days. So we say every day in Krishma, Laman Yirbu Yomechem Vevenechem. So that we're asking that we only should have Yomim, that we should have full days, but we're not asking Veloshonim, we're not asking for Arichas Shonim, that we should live long lives. Answers the Gemara Bracha Shana. There we're talking about a Bracha. And certainly when we're speaking about a Bracha, what is meant is not just Arichas Yomim, but it's also meant Arichas Shonim. V'amrav Chibar Abba Amrav Yochanan. Echad men achim shemes. If one of the brothers in a family pass away, yidogu kol achim kulam. All the other brothers need to be concerned. Echem ne chabur shemes. If somebody from the group passed away, tidak kol chabur kulam. The entire group should be concerned. Amrilei the meis gadol. Some say if it's the oldest one that passes away. Amrilei the meis katan. Some say if it's the youngest one. So the pasuk pshat in the Gemara is that if the oldest one passed away, the oldest doesn't mean, the gadol doesn't mean the oldest necessarily. Gadol means the most choshev. If by him he passed away, certainly that the other ones who don't have the same schusim need to be concerned. And the other one is the meis katan. If the smallest who didn't do any averis, the smallest who's the youngest passed away, the other ones certainly need to be concerned. And I saw that the Medrash explains, the Medrash in Parshas Vayechi, a whole family or a whole group is like a stack of stones. When you have a stack of stones, if you take out one stone, the entire stack will collapse. Here too, if one of the members of the family, one of the members of the Chabura pass away, the entire stack we need to be concerned about. I saw a very nice pshat. The pasuk says that when Yosef was in the bar, and then Reuven came to take him out of the bar, the pasuk says that Reuven said, "Hayelat anena v'ani ona ani bo." So the Sefer Ma'aseh Choshev explains the pasuk this way. What does he mean, "Hayelat anena v'ani ona ani bo"? He says that all the other brothers decided that Yosef is not considered their brother anymore. Hisiu asfam min achva. They separated themselves from the brotherhood with Yosef at Tzaddik. Reuven, however, who was ready to save Yosef, was of the opinion that Yosef is still considered very much part of the family. So when he came to this bar and he saw that Yosef was no longer there, he says the rest of the brothers who don't consider themselves brothers with Yosef anymore have nothing to be concerned about. However, ani, hayelat anena, I still considered him my brother, and he's the katan shebaachim, he's the youngest brother, and he was also the gadol shebaachim, he was the most choshev of the brothers. Now, ona ani ba, if one of the brothers passed away, yidadu kol chabura, we all need to be concerned. So we learned in the Mishnah, the kol mekalkalim p'turim, if anybody does a malach on Shabbos, which is in a destructive manner, the potter. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabavu Kameid Rabbi Yochanan, kol mekalkalim p'turim, all situations of mekalkal a potter, chutz mechayvel, if somebody wounds somebody else, or maveri puts on a fire. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabavu, puk tani levra, go teach this halacha outside the Beis Medrash. You are incorrect. Chayvel u'maver ein a mishnah. You shouldn't rely on what you just said. And mekalkel is potter even by chayvel u'maver. Vimtim tzolaymer. And if you're going to say mishnah, that it was indeed taught in the Beis Medrash, when was chayvel u'maver chayiv? Under normal circumstances, if you do chayvel or you do maver in a destructive fashion, you will be potter. When will you be chayiv? Chayvel shitzorach l'chalboi, when you need the blood that comes out because of the wound to feed your dog. So therefore, even though you've caused the wound, but it's not considered that you've done something destructive only, because there's a constructive purpose, you need that blood to feed the dog. Maver b'tzorach l'afroi, when you need the ash, that's when you're chayiv. But if there's no constructive element to what you are doing, you're not going to be chayiv. Ask the Gemara, for Nantanan, haven't we learned in our Mishnah the Kol Mekalkelin Peturim, even Chayv L'Maver, which seems to be different than the Braisa, because the Braisa says Chayv L'Maver are Chayiv. Masnisan answers the Gemara. Masnisan, our Mishnah that says Chayv L'Maver is Potter, follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Braisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And Rashi explains, because this is an extremely interesting phenomena. Normally, when we in our Masechta, we've had many machlokes in between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And typically, Rabbi Yehuda is the machmer, and Rabbi Shimon is the mekel. Rabbi Yehuda holds a davar shenu miskaven as chayiv. Rabbi Shimon holds a davar shenu miskaven as potter. Rabbi Yehuda holds a davar shenu melach shenu tzricha legufa as chayiv. Rabbi Shimon holds a melach shenu tzricha legufa as potter. And here we're saying just the opposite. So Rashi explains the machloikas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding melach shenu tzricha legufa, where Rabbi Yehuda holds a chayiv and Rabbi Shimon holds your potter, is exactly why by Choyvel or Maver they're going to hold the opposite. For he explains, Rabbi Yehuda holds the Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayiv. Why? Because even though you're not doing it for the same purpose as was done in the Mishkan, even though it's being done in reaction to a situation that is in front of you, you're still doing something with a purpose. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that whenever you do something with a purpose, you are chayiv. Chayiv l'maver, which has no constructive purpose, Rabbi Yehuda will agree, therefore, that you're potter. Rabbi Shimon, however, has a different approach. Rabbi Shimon doesn't just measure malachas if there's a constructive purpose or there isn't a constructive purpose. Because if that was the way Rabbi Shimon measured malachas, why would he hold that you're potter by a malach shein tzrich l'gufa? It must be that Rav Shimon holds that you have to look at the malachas. And therefore, Rav Shimon holds that even though malach shein tzrich l'gufa potter, you chayiv by chayvel umaver. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, and Tosfos says that this machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, where Rabbi Yehuda holds that you potter by chayv l'maver, and Rabbi Shimon holds you chay by chayv l'maver, is not connected to the malacha of malacha shen etzricha l'gufa. Rashi asks a question that in our previous shir we explained that when the Mishnah said akayr b'chamosoi, you potter follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And how can we say now that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? So Rashi therefore says that the beginning of the Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, but that the next statement of the Mishnah of Kol Mekalkelin Peturim, these are two separate halachas. Hakayru b'chamosoi, the Mishnah is passing like Rabbi Shimon, and by Kol Mekalkelin Peturim, the Mishnah is passing like Rabbi Yehuda. However, says Rabbi Kivega, that according to Tosfos, the two machlokes are not connected. So therefore, says Rabbi Vega, we have a new Tana. And in one place he holds, by Mloch Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, he paskins like Rav Shimon. And by Mekalkel B'Chabura, which is a different subject altogether, he paskins like Rav Shimon. Ask the Gemara, my time Rav Shimon. So we're learning that Rav Shimon, who's usually the Mekel, by Chayv L'Maver, he says Yechayiv, even though it's done in a destructive fashion. Says the Gemara, why does Rav Shimon say that? Midisra Krol Mishra Mila. The Torah says that you're allowed to do a Bris Mila on Shabbos. Now, when you do a Bris Mila, it's an act of Kilkel. And even though it's an act of Kilkel, why should it be Osir? Still, the Torah says that a special limud, that we're allowed to make a meal on Shabbos. So from here we see that a normal situation of chayvul may not be done on Shabbos. Ha-chayv ba'alma, chayv. Umidar amar rachmana havarga bas koyin. The halacha is that a bas koyin, the daughter of a koyin, was mezana, and when she was an arusa, be'esh tesarev. And the Torah says that even though she's chayv misa through esh, you can't do that on Shabbos. But isn't that a situation of kilkul? You're destroying a woman. You're burning her. So here we see, mav v'al mechayiv. So the Achronim ask, why by Bris Milah, we're saying that what's the Malacha by Bris Milah? Chayvel, that we're damaging somebody. But why isn't it considered Goizis? You're taking off the Arla. So the Tilal David says that Goizis is only by something that you don't feel when it's removed. The Arla is felt when you take off the Arla, and therefore that's not considered Goizis. The Rishash, along the same line, says that Goizis is only by something that could grow back. Something which is part of that doesn't grow back, the Arla obviously doesn't grow back, there's no concept of Goizis. The Charles Chuvas Teres Chesed and Avni Nezer say that Goizis is only by something which is separate. The hair of a person is separate from the body of the person. The fingernails of a person are separate from the body of the person. He says the Arla is not considered a separate part from the Makom Hamila. It is part of the body, and therefore there is no Malacha. There is no Goizis when you do Mila. Ask the Gemara of Yehuda that holds that Kolam Akalkal and Peturim. So now why do we need to have a special Pasuk? If you do something in the act of Kilkel, it's not considered a Malacha. So why do we need a special Pasuk to tell us that you're allowed to do Mila B'Shabbos? Hasam, because when you do a Mila, it's considered Mesakenhu. Because until a person has a Mila, he can't eat truma. He's not considered a full-fledged Jew. And therefore, it's considered a maisa tikkun. Kiravashi, the Amar Ravashi, mali l'takan mila, mali l'takan keli. Just like if you make a keli, that's considered a maisa tikkun. If you make a vessel, so too, if you make a Jew into a person who has a mila, that is considered a maisa tikkun. And the same thing when we speak about burning the bas koyin, mali levashal psila. There's no difference if you burn the lead that they use to burn the bas koyin, mali levashal simonim, and therefore it's considered a maisa tikkun, and that's why the Torah is telling us that even though it's a malacha, you can or you can't do it on Shabbos. We learned in the Mishnah that the shear hamalabin, the shear for whitening, is kamalei roch of sit kofel. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef machi kofel. Rabbi Yosef showed that the amount of the sit is the distance between the index finger and the middle finger doubled. Rav Chiya bar Ami machvi poshet. He said that the amount is between the thumb and the index finger, not doubled. For as the Mefarshim explained, the amount of the distance between the thumb and the index finger is equal to the distance between the index finger and the middle finger when it's doubled. So they're really saying the same thing, they're just expressing the amount in different words. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hatzad Tzipa L'Migdal. We begin now, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, speaking about the Malachas Tzeda. And the Mishnah says that Rabbi Yehuda says, if somebody captures a bird into a closet, or Tzvi L'Bayis, or he captures a deer into the house, he's chayiv for the melachas tzeida. In other words, a bird could run out of the house, the way Rashi learns, it could run out of the open windows. And therefore, if you just brought it into the house, it's not considered you did a maisa tzeida. You have to bring it into the closet. A animal, a tzvi, when it's in the gin or the chotzer, it's still potter, only when you bring it into the house. V'cham oimrim, and the cham oim tzipa l'migdol, a bird indeed is only considered captured when it's in the migdol, v'tzvi l'gana l'chotzer l'bibrim. But a deer is considered captured not only when it's brought into the house, but it's brought into the garden, the courtyard, any enclosed area. In all these cases, chayiv. That, in other words, the Chum agree with Rabbi Yehuda when we speak about birds, but when they speak about the Tzvi, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Tzvi is only considered captured when you brought it into the house. The Chum hold even when you take it to the Gina. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Lo Kol HaBibrim Shavim. Not all yards, not all court gardens are the same. Zaklal, what is the rule? If you capture the tzvi to a place where it's mechusat seder, you still have to do further activity to be able to catch this animal. It's not considered seder midaraisa, potter. It's not considered seder deraisa. If it's ain't mechusat seder, but if it's once it's brought into that area, it's easily captured, then the halacha is that it's considered a ma'aseh tzedah. The Mishnah says, begins the Gemara, Tanan Hosam, ain't sodom dogim min abibrim. If you have fish in a pool of water, you may not take the fish out of that pool of water on Yontif. And Rashi explains, even though on Yontif we're allowed to do melacha because of melacha's eichel nefesh, says Rashi, you don't have here the heter of eichel nefesh, because if you wanted to eat this fish on Yontif, you should have captured it before Yontif. And therefore, you have no eichel nefesh, doesn't allow you to do something on Yontif, which you just as easily could have done before Yontif. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. He says that the halacha that on Yontif we're allowed to do eichel nefesh doesn't tell us that we have to do it before Yontif. And therefore, just because you could have caught the fish before Yontif doesn't mean that you can't, that there's no het of eichel nefesh. Tosfos has a different approach, that even though we know that on Yontif melachas eichel nefesh is mutter, not all melachas are mutter, even though they're being done for tzorich eichel nefesh. And says Tosfos that this is one of the melachas that's not mutter. Say there's one of the melachas that is not mutter, even for eichel nefesh purposes. And the next halacha is, vein noisim lefnei mezoinus, we may not put food in front of these fish. And machlokes rishonim, why not? Rashi says that since the fish are muksa, we're not allowed to feed animals that are muksa. Rashi, that's what Rashi says here. He says that Rashi Masech Debeis says that the obligation to give food, the only time you're allowed to feed animals on Yontif are food animals that we have to feed. But animals that are able to take care of them, their own feeding issues, their own food needs, we're not allowed to feed them on Yontif. Fish who are in the sea and therefore have what to eat in the sea, we have no right to say that, feed them on Yontif. Tosfos says a different pshat. Tosfos says that only that if there's an issa tzeda, wherever there's an issa tzeda, there's also an issa to give them food. Because Chazal were concerned that if we're going to give anything that we're not allowed to catch on Yontif food, we may come to catch it, and therefore we're not allowed to feed them on Yontif. These different pshatim have serious halachic ramifications. One is that many people go to do tashlich on Rosh Hashanah themselves. And there's some people that have a minig that when they go to do tashlich, they take along food to feed the fish. The halacha is that you're not allowed to feed fish. It's an open Mishnah. They nois them as the name of the name of Zionis. We're not allowed to give them food. Another big nafkamina is what we learned Masech the Brachas. We learned that the halacha is osl adam lechel. A person may not eat until he feeds his animals. So the question is, if somebody has at home a fish tank with fish, are you allowed to eat before you feed the fish in your fish tank? But we just learned that Rashi in Masech Tebeya draws a distinction between food that, between animals that need to be fed or animals that could take care of themselves. So therefore, by fish that are in a fish tank, that have water, and if there's food there from before from which they can receive nourishment, the obligation to feed them first will not apply. Avatzadon, chaya v'oif, one may capture from this yard chayas v'oif, nois nufnei mezoinus, and we may feed them on yontif, v'rminim. But as the Gemara, we have a stira. The Brisa says, the different places where chayis, oifis, and dogim are found, ain't sod mehem b'yontif, We're not allowed to capture, you're not allowed to take anything out from them on Yontif. So we may not feed them. So we have kasha chaya chaya. We have a stira. What is the halacha by chaya? The kasha, oifus and oifus. The Mishnah Masech the Beis says that we're allowed to take out the chaya of oifus on Yontif, and you're allowed to feed them. And the Brisa says that you're not allowed to take them out, and you're not allowed to feed them. And as the Chassam Sofer asks, why doesn't the Gemara ask a stira between the Mishnah and Masech the Beis and the Mishnah Masech the Shabbos? The Mishnah Masech the Beis says that when a chaya va'oif are in the beber, they're considered already caught, and you're allowed to take them out therefore on Yontif. And our Mishnah says that Hatzar oif l'toich ha-biber, if you bring the oif into the biber, it's that you're potter, because it's not considered that it's already caught. So the Chassam Sofer answers, the Gemara perhaps could ask that question. But the terminology of our Mishnah, which speaks about a tzvi and a tzipor, is not similar to the terminology of the Mishnah in Masech Tabeya, which speaks about oifus, chayis, chayis for oifus. So therefore, since it's not the identical terminology, the Gemara perhaps could have said, we're talking about different types of animals. And since we're talking about different types of animals, they have different halachas. However, when we look at the Mishnah that the Gemara quoted and the Braisa that the Gemara quoted, there the terminology used is identical. So since the terminology used is identical, the question is that we have a stira. Says the Gemara, Bishlama chaya chaya, the question that was posed with the stira chaya and chaya like kasha could be answered. Ha, the Braisa says that you're not allowed to capture chaya from a bibrim, represents the opinion of Yehuda in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says that if you bring a tzvi into the biber, you're potter. Because Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in our Mishnah was that bringing a tzvi into a biber is not considered that you did a maisa tzeda on the tzvi. And therefore, if you take the tzvi out of the biber, it's considered you did a maisa tzeda. Whereas the Mishnah Masech Tabeya that says, Faha, the Mishnah Masech Tabeya that says you are allowed to take out a chayif from the biber, represents the opinion of the Rabbanon from our Mishnah, who hold that taking a tzvi into the biber is considered a maisa tzeda. So once the tzvi already finds itself in the biber, it's already caught. And therefore taking it out is not considered that you did a maisa tzeda. Ella asked the Gemara, oifus, oifus, when we speak about birds, everybody in our Mishnah disagreed that it's not considered that you caught the bird until you brought it into the migdol, until you brought it into the closet. So how do we reconcile the stira? V'chitema, suggest the Gemara, oifus ha-oifus nami lo kasha. I'll be able to reconcile the question by oifus as well. Ha, the Mishnah Masech Tabeya, that says you could take the bird out of the biber, is talking about biber makaira, a biber that has a roof over it. So the birds that are inside are considered already caught. For ha, and our Mishnah, and the Brice that says you're not allowed to take the oifus out of the biber, are talking about biber she'ena makar, that doesn't have a roof, and therefore it's not considered caught. And therefore taking from there is considered a ma'aseh tzeda. Ask the Gemara. For bias, our Mishnah speaks about a house. A house obviously has a roof. And Bein Rabbi Yehuda and Bein Rabbanan, and both opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, our Mishnah hold that tzipa l'migdal in, only when you put the bird into a closet is it considered caught. Avel abayis, if it's in a house, even though the house has a roof, it's not considered caught. So how could we say that if you're taking a bird out of a roofed biber, it's not considered a ma'aseh tzeda? Amar Rabbi Rav Huna, says Rabbi Rav Huna, that everybody agrees that actually if you put a bird into a house with a roof, it is considered caught. And therefore the Mishnah Masech Tabeya that says you're allowed to take a bird out of the biber is talking about a biber that had a roof. The Braisa that said you're not allowed to take a bird out of the biber is talking about a beaver that doesn't have a roof. The teretz that we just learned. From our Mishnah, it seems that if you bring a bird into the house, it's not considered caught, even though the house has a roof. Hacha, our Mishnah is referring to a bird, but tzipa drora screenim, a bird that's a free bird that doesn't sit still. And even though if you brought it into a house with a roof, it jumps around when you try to catch it, and therefore, even though it's in a house, and the house has a roof, it's not considered caught. The Tanner of Shmuel, Lama Nikra Shmuel Tzipa Dror. Indeed, where does the name Tzipa Dror come from? Neshadar Bebayis Kvasada. For it, a house and the field are the same. It's not considered caught when it's in the house. Says the Gemara, Hato, Hashta Dasas Lahachi, now that we've given this teretz to reconcile all these opinions, Chaya Chaya Nami Loi Kasha. We could reconcile the situation with the Chaya Chaya. We could also say that there's no stira. Hava Biba Gadol, the Braisa which says you can't take a wild animal out of this biber on Yontif is talking about a large biber. Hava Biba Katan, whereas the Mishnah which says that you may is talking about a small biber. Similarly, in our Mishnah, the Chamo hold that you bring a deer into the house is talking about, into the biber, it's considered caught. It's calling about a small biber. That's when it's considered caught. And therefore, in Yontav, you could take it out of there. And in Shabbos, you can't bring it in there. It's considered a Maisa Tzeda. Ask the Gemara, Heichi Dami Biber Gadol, Heichi Dami Biber Katan. How do you know what's a Biber Gadol and what's a Biber Katan? Amar Vashi, Kalecha the Rot Besrei. Anywhere where if you chase the animal, and you can get it in one lunge, that's a biber cotton. Vidach, anything else is a biber gadol. Inami, kolech the nofel tula the ksolam adadi, where the shade of the walls meet each other, that's a biber cotton. And as I saw, Tosfos Davar Maskil Hecha explains that in those days, all of the walls of the houses had a standard size. So therefore, this is a good measurement. So if the walls, if there's such a small place that the walls of the shade of the walls meet each other, that's a biber katan. Either anything else is a biber gadol. Inami kolech the leka uksi, if where there are no corners in which the animal can escape, is a biber katan. Anything else is a biber katan. Rav Shimon Gamliel said in our Mishnah, not all biberim are the same. Where sometimes when you bring an animal into the biber, it's considered caught. If it's easy to be able to get that animal, it's considered caught. Otherwise, it's not considered caught. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, Amar Yosef, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halach Krav Shem Gamliel. That is the halacha, that an animal is not considered caught until it's brought into a place where it's easily gotten. Says the Gemara, that's the halacha. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, the fact that the Gemara uses the lashon halacha, mechlal de pligi. Whenever the Gemara says the halacha, that means that there's a machloikus, and the Gemara is paskening. And as Tosfos and Ritva explain, that the Gemara is assuming that the Rabbanan are arguing on Reb Shimon Gamliel, and that's the halacha. Say the Rishonim asks, maybe what the Gemara here means is that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Mefarshim respond with two terutzim. If what the Gemara was coming to teach us only was that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara should have said, "Ein halacha Rabbi Yehuda." The fact that the Gemara says halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it's coming to teach us something else. Another teretz is if the Rabbanon agreed with Rav Shimon Gamliel, then of course that's the halacha. We always follow the opinion of the Chachamim. If the Gemara is, if they're stressing that halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel, it must be that they understood that the Rabbanon disagreed with Rav Shimon Gamliel, and yet we're passing like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Amalei, so Rabbi said to Abaya, "Man nafkalam Abaya, what's the difference? All we need to know is that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. And that's what we know." Amalei, so Abaya said to Rav Yosef, Gemara, Zimra to Tehei. Is the Gemara a song? we have to know everybody's opinion. Yes, maybe to know the halacha, it doesn't make that much of a difference, because now we're learning that anything that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't learn and understand the Gemara and understand everybody's opinion properly. Says the Gemara, if somebody traps a blind or a sleeping deer, he's chayiv. But if the deer is chigur, it's lame, v'zakin, or old, or chayil is sick, he's potter. Amalei Baile Reb Yosef. Maishna hani. What's the difference between these different types of deer? Answers the Gemara, hani avidil rebuye. The blind or sleeping deer has the senses that if somebody's trying to catch it, it will run away. Hani loyvidil rebuye. But the other ones don't have the ability to run away, and therefore catching them is not considered a maisa tzeda. Ask the Gemara, here we're saying that if you catch a bird that's chayla, it's your potter. And the Brisa says that if you catch a deer that's chayla, you're chayif. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Shesh, Sloikasha. Haba chayla machmas ishtoi. If the animal is sick with a fever, it will still run away when somebody comes close. And therefore, catching it is considered a maisa tzeda. Whereas, haba chayla machmas of tzona, if it's sick because it's weak, it can't run away, and therefore you're potter. The Bi'a Alocha asks an interesting question. He asks, if somebody started running after this deer, and at the beginning when he started running afterward, it was strong. So catching it at that point would be a Maisa Tzeda. But by the time you caught it, the animal was already tired and not running. Will it still be considered a Maisa Tzeda? Because when you began the Maisa Tzeda, it was indeed an act of tzeda. But when you completed the maisa tzeda, it was no longer an act of tzeda because it was weak. And he doesn't know what would be a halacha. The Rambam doesn't make this distinction. And he said, and the way the Gra explains the opinion of the Rambam is just the opposite, that ishtasa is when it's fever, then it's not tzeda. Otherwise, it is considered an act of tzeda. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Hatsod Chagovim. If somebody captures grasshoppers, gozin is a different type of grasshopper, tsirin, hornets, v'yitushim, and mosquitoes, and Shabbos Yischayiv, Divrei Rav Meir. V'chomer Omrim, kol shemin in nitzod, anything that's normally caught, Yischayiv. But something which is not the type of an animal that people catch, you're potter. So based on this, says the Ritva, that if somebody has a box, and in the box there may be flies, even though he's not interested in catching those flies, it's a psik ratio that when you close the box, whatever in there is going to get caught, even though it's a melach shen tzrich l'gufa, it's a psik ratio, the la'ich b'slei, the halach is, you shouldn't do it. However, according to the Aruch that we quoted the other day, that the Aruch says that if it's something that, if it's a psik ratio, the la'ich b'slei, by the Rabbanon we could be lenient. So this is a Rabbanon, because it's a melach shen tzrich l'gufa, and it's a psik ratio, the la'ich b'slei, according to the Aruch, it would be mutter. If somebody catches grasshoppers when the dew is on the ground, he's potter. Because the dew causes the eyes of the grasshopper to become blinded, so you're not considered that you did a maisa tzeda. However, b'shas ha-sharif, if you catch it when there is intense heat, so even though they're less active, they're still jumping around. If you catch them, you're chayif. If they're coming down in swarms, you're potter. But the Gemara now tries to understand what is meant with that statement. And he's saying that in the time of dew, you're potter. Maybe he means to say you're only potter if they're coming down in swarms. Or seifakoi. He says, b'shash sheriv yichayiv. But he's saying that even though yichayiv b'shash sheriv, if they come down, you'll be potter. says the Gemara Toshma, Hatzod Chagov B'Shas Atal, Potter. B'Shas HaSheriv, Yechayiv. Says a Lozba Mahavoy, Avshil B'Shas HaSheriv that was saying Yechayiv, and may Kalchus Abbas, if they're coming down many at a time, even B'Shas HaSheriv, you'll be Potter. So Yishenechus Labayis, if a deer enters the house, and somebody closes the door in front of that tzvi, hechayiv. No lishnayim, but if two people close the door, you're potter. It goes back to the halacha of shnayim shasu, you're potter. However, lo yochel lechel linoil, if one person could not have closed the door by himself, so v'no lishnayim, so it's a situation of zayne yochel, and we learned before zayne yochel is chayiv. Rav Shimon Peiter, and again, Rav Shimon again follows his opinion that zayne yochel is still in the category of shnayim shasua. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yemri ba'aba Amar Shmuel hatsod ari b'Shabbos. If somebody captures a lion on Shabbos, the halacha is is not considered chayiv for tzeda, ad sheikh yisenu legorski shaloi. Unless you bring it into its cage, which is built to hold lions, it's not considered a maisa tzeda.